Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
1 week from tonight, it's the NFL Draft. The Buffalo Bills selecting at 30 right now. Chris Trapasso today on One Bills Live knows it's about value.
For the Bills, last year, 10 selections. This year, they're going in with 10 selections. That is the best way to do exactly what you just said. Keep the team as a playoff or Super Bowl contender throughout a decade. And that's really hard to do in the NFL.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, and the Shout Podcast. Ryan joining us next year in the Sports Bar. The Amherst, final two games of the season coming up. It's the home and home against Toronto. Now, Friday night being the home game, the Amherst coming off a win last night over Cleveland. Rochester Red Wings game one of a doubleheader. So far, not so good. Worcester is up 8-0 as they head to the bottom of the third. Sabres tonight taking on Philadelphia. Gene Pataglin, the sports leader, the Fan Rochester.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Ryan Talbot has been an absolute workhorse at Syracuse.com, tracking all of the Buffalo Bills' pre-draft visits. We'll get into it with Ryan, who joins us now on The Fan. But first, Ryan, break a couple ties for us. We got two things here that we want you to weigh in on that we've been discussing throughout the course of the afternoon. Number one, after hearing Aaron Rodgers speak on McAfee today, Do you think it's more likely that Aaron Rodgers retires or more likely that he's playing for an NFL team in 2025? And two, what's your pick for week one for the Buffalo Bills? Geno thinks they're hosting Cincinnati. I think it's a Bills-Chiefs AFC Championship rematch in primetime on Sunday night.
Ooh, well, to answer the first question, I think Rodgers will end up playing. I'm not sure it's going to be, though, for Pittsburgh or New Orleans, the two teams that he's kind of been linked to as of late. I could see him sitting out half the season, waiting maybe for a contender to have a QB injury and then jumping on and trying to kind of play with that team when it comes to competing for, you know, playoffs and a title. I think he's starting to see that he has worn out his welcome in this league. There hasn't been a ton of interest in him for good reason. You saw how he handled his exit with the Jets today, talking about how it went poorly, in his opinion, with Aaron Glenn in their first meeting. And for the second question, you know, I have no idea when it comes to the schedule release, just because I could see Kansas City, for instance, CBS could put that on at any time in season, and they're going to get monster ratings for that. If I were to guess, it could be a game like the Bengals or something along those lines for sure. I think they're going to hold off on the Chiefs. So that's just a middle of the season ratings get for CBS or whoever ends up owning the rights to that game.
Yeah, Ryan just kind of brought it up because always this was, if not the week, the day we would get the NFL schedule, and they've pushed that back to May, knowing that, hey, there's so much meat on the bone when it comes to talking about the NFL draft. And as Danger mentioned, you're doing a fantastic job every year, particularly around this time when you're tracking everybody who's coming in to visit for the Buffalo Bills, or maybe that's just as simple as a Zoom meeting. But I'll just ask the question is, like, overall here, how much of an indicator is this historically with Brandon Bean and the Buffalo Bills that guys that they talk to, they end up drafting at some point?
No, yeah, it's been huge. And, you know, a lot of people downplay the pre-draft visits because after the first few rounds, the Bills don't have a great history of necessarily drafting people off their board. But if you look early on with Brandon Bean, you have Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, Ed Oliver. Then you have the two COVID years. There's Kyrie Elam. All those guys were top 30 visits with the Bills. And they didn't have a first-round pick last year after trading down, but Keon Coleman was in on a pre-draft visit last year. You can go into round two and round three, Osiris Torrance. And there's a few others. Dawson Knox, round three. That list goes on and on. So it certainly matters in the first few rounds when it comes to the pre-draft visits. And then you look at the private workouts, the Zooms. We can indicate a lot about what the Bills are looking for specifically in this year's draft based on these visits.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse.com, tracking pre-draft visits for the Buffalo Bills. And Ryan, earlier in this week, I planted my flag, my Bills draft crush. I want them whatever it takes. I don't want them to leave the draft without getting Kenneth Grant at defensive tackle. And I shared this with your colleague Matt Perino earlier in the week. He said you've got another defensive tackle in mind that might offer a little bit more to the Buffalo Bills. Explain your case here.
Ooh, I don't know who he's talking about. Derek Harmon, because that's why I did my last mock draft. I actually think the Bills probably go corner in round one, but Derek Harmon fits more of the mold of what the Bills have done from that one tech position. Has a lot more juice in terms of the pass rush. He's great against the run, strong physical hands at the point of attack. The problem is, I think Harmon and Kenneth Grant are likely going to be gone by pick 30. I would love to be wrong and one of them to slip down into that range, because then I think it's an easy pick for the Bills in round one with one of those D tackles. I just don't know if either of them falls into Buffalo's laps. And if you look at some of the pre-draft visits, you know, the Zooms, everything else, they are looking at a lot of D tackles that are going to be on day two of the draft, early day three, and then obviously there's a lot of corners that they're looking at in round one and round two.
So corner, could you find corners in round two? Who would be, like, if the Bills are going to stay at 30 or maybe trade up a few spots there, and the last time they traded up for a corner with Kyrie Elam didn't work out so well. Ryan, tell us about who you think could be some names here, some targets. Who do you like at the corner position?
Yeah, I love Trey Amos out of Ole Miss. He is perfect for what Buffalo does defensively. They're going to be a mix of zone and man. We saw them up their man defense a little bit late in the season playoff run. But Amos, in terms of the zone defense, he is outstanding in that regard. He just really fits the Bills' defense extremely well. So if they were to pick at 30, that's a guy that I love for the Bills. And then there's a lot of other players that, you know, I think they're going to fall into round two because of injuries. Revel Jr. out of East Carolina, he's coming off of an ACL injury, was getting first-round hype going into his final season there. He had two interceptions in three games. He was looking the part for East Carolina. I'm a Notre Dame fan, but Benjamin Morrison is as legitimate as can be at cornerback. He has a hip injury, though, that he missed most of the season with. If the Bills end up landing him, that would be an outstanding selection. And then, you know, you look at players like Maxwell Hairston. He ran a 4.28 40, probably more of a first-round pick there. He does have some off-the-field concerns that I'm sure the Bills have done their due diligence on. And then Jacob Parrish out of Kansas State would be another really good player on day two of the draft in round two with one of those second-round picks.
All right, so what about Hairston? The knock, I believe, is that he's not as sharp a tackler as the Bills might like, although that speed, man, that is an enticing number at 4.28 40.
Yeah, tackling on the field is his biggest issue, and we know that Sean McDermott loves corners that can tackle well. What's interesting is I looked at the 40 times today of the cornerbacks from the combine, and the Bills have at least had conversations with five of the 10. So it does seem like speed is part of the equation that they're looking for when it comes to the cornerback position as well. And a lot of the guys, too, are just tremendous in terms of the zone and man. They have a little bit of a balance to their game. But speed seems to be a big part of what Buffalo is looking at, just at cornerback and at wide receiver so far.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Ryan, tracking all these players, right, in these positions, as you mentioned, okay, like wide receiver being one where we've seen some, but is this the year, because I think normally you'll have Brandon Bean going 50-50 down the middle. Do we get more defensive players selected as opposed to offense this year?
I would be shocked if it wasn't defensive heavy in this draft class based on the due diligence that they've done, the players that they've looked at. You know, wide receiver is one area or one position that they have looked at a lot of players, but running back, it's been a handful of guys and more so day three players, if anything. Jaden Blue out of Texas, for instance, they met with him at the combine. They had a pre-draft visit with him. So running back obviously hasn't been a priority. They have a strong 1-3, even with everything going on with James Cook. They really haven't talked to many tight ends. O-linemen, it's been, you know, day three UDFA type of players that I've reported on. And obviously not looking at a quarterback. So it really limits what I think they're going to do in terms of offense. They could double dip at wide receiver. They could take a skill player late for sure. But for the most part, I think you're looking at a draft class where they're probably going to add maybe three defensive linemen. I could see them double dipping at defensive tackle, a 3-tech and a 1-tech. Adding an edge rusher. They've looked at a few linebackers that I really like. Pooh Paul out of Ole Miss, real name Chris Paul Jr., but it kind of goes by Pooh as in Winnie the Pooh. Love his game a lot. He's been going anywhere in mock drafts from late on day two, early day three. Sean Dolak out of UB, I think, is on their radar firmly. So I think a linebacker's in play. And then you're talking about maybe two cornerbacks as well. So I know the Bills probably won't end up making all 10 of their picks, but I expect this to be a very heavy defensive draft.
What about the case for wide receiver early in this draft? If you have a Matthew Golden in your range, we know that they visited with Isaiah Bond, and there's some character concerns there, the two Texas wide receivers. And we know that they've taken visits with guys that project to be more like day two guys, day three mm-hmm. guys, and beyond. What are your thoughts on how invested in wide receiver the Bills will be this year in the draft?
Yeah, I expect them to fully add one guy with blazing speed, and that could be a day three pick. But if the right guy falls early in this draft, again, wouldn't shock me whatsoever. Matthew Golden's a great name to project there. Ran one of the fastest times, well, the fastest time among the wide receivers at the combine. Would be a great weapon or asset for this team. You know, Luther Burden hasn't been getting a lot of love or praise, it feels like, in this draft process. I know that. He might be best in the slot, but he can play on the outside, absolutely. He's drawn comparisons to Garrett Wilson of the Jets. I love his game quite a bit. So those would be two guys in round one. If the Bills were at pick 30 and they were still hovering there in the early 20s, I wouldn't hate if they traded up to get either one of them. But then on day two, Jalen Royals is maybe my favorite wide receiver in this draft class, does everything extremely well, ran a 4.44 40. So he meets the speed criteria as well. But man, you look at some of these guys that they are looking at. There's some intriguing players like Tennessee wide receiver Dante Thornton. He ran a 4.35 and he's 6 feet 5 inches tall. Not the most nuanced route runner, very raw, but you can't teach speed at that size. Has drawn some DK Metcalf comparisons. And he's supposed to be a day three pick. So if you could get him with one of your round five picks or one of your round six picks, you know, those are the guys that I would throw a dart on the dartboard for any day of the week. Some of the other guys that I really like in the wide receiver room that they've kind of looked at. You know, I don't know if there's any of them that I love as much as that. Bond has too many character concerns, in my opinion. But Jalen Lane's another one that I really like a lot, and they've had a Zoom meeting with him as well.
Ryan Talbot, you can check out his tracker, all these pre-draft visits, Zooms, the private workouts, and more, NewYorkUpstate.com being the website. Ryan, just I'd be curious to get your opinion here because you're just not covering the Bills. You're covering the entire league. And to me, if you have a chance to interview and sit down, wouldn't you want more information? It was this week I kind of learned, wait a second, this new young GM of the Jaguars thinks that creates an implicit bias. I don't know if that's right or he just doesn't want to do it, but it turns out that the Rams don't use their pre-draft visits. And I would just ask you the question, why not? Why wouldn't you want to like use this opportunity to learn some more?
Yeah, I think it's foolish. And if you look at the Rams' last draft, they actually had some really nice hits. They had a nice draft class. But the one thing I'll say about the Rams is, for the most part, they haven't had a lot of draft picks in recent years. So maybe that was part of their MO of not bringing people in. But if you're the new GM in Jacksonville, that is not one trend that I would bring with me. I think it's really important to bring players in because when you look at this list of players that Buffalo brought in, some of them were character concerns. So this is a chance for the Bills to sit down, get to know these players a little bit better. The injuries that I mentioned for some of these cornerbacks is a chance for the Bills medical staff to kind of look and get an idea of how well they are healing and rehabbing, how close they are. Will they be ready to go week one this season? Will they be ready to go for training camp? So there's a ton of value with these pre-draft picks. I get it. It's very convenient that you can, you know, pick up a phone, you can Zoom people multiple times throughout the process, and you can talk with them a lot there too. But I think getting them inside your facility is also very important.
Ryan, who do you think on Brandon Bean's cheat sheet he has as a first-round talent at the safety position?
Oof. I think there's a few guys that he probably has. South Carolina kid. I could see Xavier Watts of Notre Dame being someone that's hovering close to that. Malachi Starks possibly as well out of Georgia. Those would be the three that I would pinpoint. I don't know if you would pull the trigger on a safety. I still think it's a need. You have Taylor Rapp entering the final year of his contract, Amari Hamlin being more of a depth player. You still don't know what you have in Cole Bishop. So if you can get a blue-chip player, I think they should at least consider it. And those are three players right there that I would absolutely love to see in Buffalo. I just think that when it comes to best player available, if all things are equal, I think he's going to have some comparable grades in some of these D-tackles and cornerbacks. And based on the immediate need of those two positions, I think he'll, if all things are considered close, he's going to lean with one of those positions.
Ryan, I'm going to throw you a curveball here. And I asked this question to Matt earlier in the week because sometimes when it comes to the draft, we almost overlook like who you took last year and who's on the pipeline that maybe didn't get a lot of minutes or many reps here. And I would point to a couple of years ago when, hey, there's this competition for middle linebacker and it's Baylen Spector, it's Dotson. No, it's Terrell Bernard. It's kind of silly to think that now, knowing that he's a cornerstone of this defense. My question is about Dwayne Carter, the third round pick here. I know he's not the guy you want to pair to right next to Ed Oliver, but where's the ceiling with him? Because we didn't get the full experience last year when he hurt his wrist.
Yeah, I think he can be really good as part of a rotation behind Ed Oliver. The problem is when he came back from the wrist injury, one, he was either inactive, or two, he was extremely ineffective when he was on the field. So his rookie season, if you really look at the tail end of it, it left a lot to be desired. And that's why I think the Bills brought in Larry Ogunjobi without knowing about his suspension. I think it's why they've also looked at some potential three-tech defensive tackles in this draft class. They don't want to just hand him a job, whether it's the top depth player off the bench behind that Oliver. They wanted Ogunjobi to come in and push him and make him earn that role. But after his rookie season, I think everything's on the table, especially with the Bills entering this draft, at least with 10 picks. They're going to look to upgrade their entire defensive line. It's been their Achilles heel. I know that Brandon Bean's thrown a lot at it over the years. It's still the one area, though, where there's an, you know, it's what's holding them back, it feels like, from getting to the big game.
We call it the season of Lion, Ryan. It's pre-draft season, and I'm curious. We know that there's a connection that dates back to Carolina, and he took a visit with the Bills yesterday. James Bradberry, corner. What do you think? Is that somebody that the Bills signed to just add to the 90? It's not going to stop them from drafting a corner, will it?
No, not at all. And at this point in his career, too, they might be looking at him as more of a safety or a player that can play both positions off the bench. You know, he was released in March by Philadelphia with a post-June 1st designation. So I don't know if the Bills are trying to play comp bingo this year, but that wouldn't count against them. It's a veteran that you can bring in if they end up signing him. I think probably get him close to the vet minimum, if not at the vet minimum at this point in his career. Let him compete at training camp. See if he can win a job as a depth type of player. But cornerback is very thin right now. So if they do want to play him at corner and give him a chance there, they definitely need some bodies there, at least pre-draft. That could obviously change after with the draft class and the UDFAs that they sign post-draft. But right now, that is a big need.
Assuming it wasn't AI generated, and I guess we always have to kind of throw that disclaimer or think about that, I'm going to assume that was really James Cook. We saw on video this week ripping up logos of the Chiefs and the Jets. Are we to kind of assume that, okay, whatever happens this year, that James Cook is pointing to maybe perhaps him being okay, being a Buffalo Bill here in 2025?
Yeah, I think he is. I think, you know, ideally he would have loved to have gotten that $15 million offer from the Bills and have that security. But I think he also knows that if he goes out and repeats the type of season he had last year, there's going to be a team that will offer him that kind of money on the free agent market. The Bills aren't known to franchise tag players. I don't think that would be something they would do with Cook, even if he had a monster year. So I think he's going to go into this season, play out his contract. The Bills could negotiate in season. It's not something they do a lot, but there are a few instances where they've extended players in season. So I think everything's on the table. The big thing is there probably needs to be some kind of compromise while you're not going to get $15 million per year, but we can offer you a little bit more in guaranteed money. We can front load it, make it look like it's close to that $15 million on average, but when you finally see the breakdown of it, you know the Bills can maybe get out of it after 2 years, 3 years tops, whatever it is. I don't think you're going to see any kind of holdout, though. One, just because he's not making a ton of money in this final season. It's about $5 million with fines and everything else. You could run through that very, very quickly with the way the league runs things now.
Ryan, we're a week away from Christmas in the NFL, and we know that you and Matt are working hard leading up to Thursday night. So what do we got? What do we expect here out of the Shout podcast? Ooh. We know there's lots of live events.
Yeah, you got the Wingnuts event Saturday night here, Ryan.
Yes, Wingnuts Saturday night at the Millersport location. Matt's going to unveil his final mock draft. He went all in on this final mock draft, so it'll be fun to kind of break down, discuss. And then we're going to be live at Turning Stone Casino on night one of the draft. We're going to go live around 9 p.m. on all the streaming sites. And then we'll also come back again after the Bills make their pick, which traditionally has been around 11:30, 11:40 at night with a second episode of Shout.
I don't know if he brought this up to you. He brought this up to us on Tuesday. He says he's got something radical he's going to unveil here Saturday night when it comes to
that. Oh, it's pretty wild. He's unveiled it to me. It's pretty wild.
Would we be on? All right. That's a tease there, Ryan.
It's a big tease. Yeah. Huge. I'll tell you what. It would bring back memories of Ditka and Ricky Williams with the wedding dress on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I mean, he's going all in here.
Okay. All right. Maybe you can get Micah Parsons out of a deal like that. Trade everything for one guy. Ryan, appreciate the time as always, man. Great job covering the pre-draft visits. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Hey, thanks, guys.
There's Ryan Talbot, New York Upstate. Syracuse.com, where you can read Ryan's pre-draft visit tracker, all of the prospects that the Bills have spoken to, all of the prospects that have come in for workouts, private workouts, local workouts, combine visits. Ryan tracked them all.
Will we ever see anything like that again? And for folks, it's a long time ago, right? Mike Ditka, the head coach, but apparently he also had personnel power in New Orleans. This is post-Chicago. And he really wanted Ricky Williams and was calling. And as the story goes, yeah, Cincinnati was number one overall. Nope. Nope. And finally, Washington at five said, okay, give us your entire draft. And he did.
Yep. I'll always remember it. I'll always remember it. Because there was still a soft spot for Ditka, even though he was no longer with the Bears. And we knew he was crazy. We didn't know he was that crazy. Like, that was insane. And his reaction to all of it, like, he believed he won the draft. Like, I don't care what else, whatever you want to do with the rest of those picks. I got Ricky Williams. I'm going golfing.
So then they do the magazine cover. Do you remember this? Where they put Ricky Williams. Yeah, they put him in a bride and Ditka is the groom.
Yeah, I do remember that. I vividly remember it. I remember him puffing on a cigar and they asked him, what are you going to do now? Going golfing. Like, he didn't care. I got my guy. That was the guy he wanted. I mean, old way of thinking, right? Old school mentality. All we need is a powerful running. You know, it's too bad we didn't have Chuck Muncy in that draft. But you had Ricky Williams. Worth trading your entire draft class for. He did. And Williams, at least in New Orleans, a shell of what you thought you were going to get out of that guy. But, man, when he was at Texas, I get it. I get what Ditka saw. He's like, hey, this guy's Walter Payton version 2.0. And if I can start with the foundation of a running game like that with this guy, we're going to be unstoppable.
Ricky Williams is going to be the guy who's always connected to cannabis.
It's his identity.
Yeah.
He's a guy that's known for smoking weed. That's his identity, not his playing career. He had some good years. He had some decent years. He turned out to be a good running back. Just not in New Orleans.
That was, like, as far as shocking retirements. Like, Andrew Luck was pretty shocking, but then you think about it afterward. Like, Ricky Williams was just like a random July day. Like, wait, he retired?
Mm-hmm.
Dave Wannstedt was the head coach. I mean, gosh, you're a Dolphin fan. Like, we talk about Sabres misery. Do I feel sorry?
No.
No, I don't either.
No, not even a little bit.
No.
Happy hour is next. We have time for your calls. Lots there to unpack from Ryan Talbot covering the Bills pre-draft process.
We also, we've got an important game for the Nighthawks. Last game, and they would get a home playoff game, if I understand this correctly. Connor Fields, who is an MVP candidate, will be joining us in the 5 o'clock hour as well.
I love that. All right, we'll get to your calls at 866-4FAN, 866-4326, and Gino and I have a brand new boxed wine bet. We'll explain.
You know, sometimes you think we plan things out. We don't.
The best stuff is spontaneous. This one, I gotcha.
No.
We'll get to it more next year. Happy hour on the way in the sports bar.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.